Blog Talk Radio. Good morning and welcome back to Impacting Your World. I thank God for each and every one of you. Let's get started this morning with our Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we come before you to say thank you for this day that you have made. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We thank you that each and every day you load us with benefits and we receive those benefits and we give you praise, glory, and honor. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood. We plead the blood over ourselves and our families and everything that you have blessed us with in this life and everyone whom you've blessed us with in this life. We're grateful for this precious blood that speaks of better things for us than the blood of Abel. Thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God. We welcome you into our lives. We welcome you into our homes. We welcome you right now on this program, and we give you praise, glory, and honor, thanking you for being with us and teaching us how to pray and praying alongside us as we pray these Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. For this reason, we also, from the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray and make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and an understanding and discernment of spiritual things. We pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. We pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of your glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance, and forbearance with joy. We give thanks to you, Father, because you've qualified and made us fit to share the portion, which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. And Father, we thank you that you've delivered us and drawn us to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and you've transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. For all this we ask and pray in Jesus' mighty name with thanksgiving. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, praise God. This morning, I want us to continue talking about following God's plan for your life. And one of the things that in following God's plan for your life, you'll have to do is to avoid strife. Now, before I go to talking about avoiding strife, I want to just give you a background. You know, first and foremost, you and I have assignments from God. Regardless of whether your assignment is in the fivefold ministry or in the marketplace, you still have an assignment from God. Not everybody is called to pulpit ministry, to be behind and preach and all that. Your life is what will speak to the people. You don't necessarily have to be a preacher to fulfill God's plan for your life. And so what's important is, first of all, for you to know what that plan is. But regardless of whether it's in the marketplace or whether it's in the fivefold, you will have attacks from the enemy, because John 10:10 tells us that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is MO. You know, Satan is trying to decide when your time is up here on the earth. He has an assignment on your life and on my life. You know, he's very committed to his assignment, and he's very consumed with that mission. He works at it day and night, and he's very focused. So you and I need to also be committed to the assignment that God has given us. We need to be consumed with the mission that God has given us. We also need to work at it day and night, do everything that we can to fulfill the assignment that God has given us. Now, remember, first and foremost, the Bible tells us in Genesis 3, verse 1, that now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. Well, the serpent is actually symbolic of Satan. It's not that he's a snake, you know, he was a snake. It's a symbol of Satan. Other Bible translations say that he was subtle, he was shrewd, he was clever, crafty, and sneaky. Well, that tells us that, you know, we must be careful. We must be, you know, mindful to watch out for his attacks upon our lives. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 9, the Bible tells us in King James Version, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resisteth steadfast in faith." In Amplified Version, it says that be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times, for that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him, be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christ, or Christians throughout the world. Well, this is the thing. Many times the situations that we're dealing with in our lives, the attacks upon our lives, are as a result of the word of God that we receive and also as a result of the assignment that God has given us. You see, the enemy doesn't want you to fulfill the assignment that God, the plan that he has for your life. And so he will attack you in areas which he knows that he can stop you in your tracks. He can, you know, hinder you from doing what the Lord has told you to do. He can get your focus off of the assignment or the plan of God for your life, and then, you know, have you focusing on your circumstances instead. And so many times we don't pay attention to the warnings of the Holy Spirit, because he does give us warnings and we have to pay attention. That's why here we're told to be sober, to be mindful, to be well-balanced or temperate, sober of mind. We have to be vigilant. And I like the fact that Amplified Bible says we have to be cautious all times. So you can't let your guard down. You've got to be cautious at all times. Amen. So being cautious at all times, he's telling us the devil is not a lion. He's trying to act like a lion. You know, the lion is Jesus, our master, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And if we see another part of the assignment of the enemy here, it says that it doesn't say that he devours everyone he seeks. It says withstand him, be firm faith against his onset, rooted, established. You know, actually, let's go back to that one. He says, verse 8, be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times, for that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, acting like a lion, in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. He's seeking someone to seize upon and devour. So one of the things that you need to be sure of is to make sure he can't devour you. He's seeking for someone. It's not like he just goes upon everybody. He's seeking someone, meaning that he's looking for an opportunity in somebody's life. He's seeking someone to seize upon and devour. So what are those opportunities that we give him? So which means that we have a responsibility, first of all, you know. Not only do we learn in this verse what Satan's mission is, but also we learn how to deal with him. This is what the Bible is telling us. We have to be well-balanced, temperate, and sober of mind, okay? And then we've got to be vigilant and cautious at all times, because he's seeking someone to seize upon and devour. So it's not that the devil is coming upon every person, you know, in the body of Christ. He's seeking someone. What is that seeking someone? The person who gives him the opportunity to seize, the person who gives him that opportunity to seize and devour them. And so if you've got to be in this mindset of that, I will not be devoured by the enemy. Amen. Why? Because you'll need to learn to be sober, be well-balanced, temperate, or sober of mind. You've got to be vigilant and you've got to be cautious at all times. In other words, open your eyes and be attentive and on the lookout for what is going on in and around your life at all times. You've got to be, you've got to be attentive. Always remember that these three keys we have to use to overcome the schemes of the enemy, the strategies of the enemy, we are given right here. Be cautious. Amen. Be well balanced, temperate, or sober of mind. First of all, we've got to keep up our guard. Amen. You withstand him, be firm in faith in his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined. Okay, so we've got to do that. So keep up our guard. We've got to be sober. We've got to be on the alert. We've got to be attentive, and we've got to be on the lookout at all times. Also, we must stay in faith. You see, we have this responsibility from God. If we don't, then Satan will find a way. He'll find an opportunity to seize upon and devour us. And so we must determine to do what Apostle Paul said to do in Ephesians 4:27. He said, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Okay, so you and I are the ones who actually give him the opportunity to come into our lives and attack us, whether it's attacking us in our finances or attacking us in our health or attacking us in our, you know, relationships or marriage or business or career. We are the ones who give him that opportunity to attack us. But the Bible clearly says here that give him no room, leave no such room or foothold. Amen. We are not to give him any room or foothold in any area of our lives for him to, you know, or give him that opportunity to come in and to devour. Actually, you know, this is just part of what Ephesians 4:27 says. In fact, it starts by saying in verse 26, when angry, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath, your exasperation, your fury or indignation last until the sun goes down. Verse 27, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Well, what is that telling me? That is telling me that, you know, when we have anger, when we get into strife with people, you know, when situations like that happen and somebody comes and does something to us, or we find ourselves in an argument with somebody or a spouse or whatever, if you allow that to keep cooking in your spirit, all day long, you're spending your time and your energy focused on that thing that went wrong, you are opening the door to the enemy. You know, you open the door to the enemy and you give him the room or the opportunity, the foothold to come in and to attack you. You give him the opportunity to seize upon and devour you. Okay. And so we are told, let's go right now to the book of James chapter 3. James chapter 3. This is one area that as believers, we don't think it's important, but it is important in every area of our lives, because it doesn't, you know, not necessarily just only when you're focusing on God's plan for your life, but at all times, you just have to avoid strife and avoid, you know, having to, you know, dealing with such stuff. Now, I'm not saying it's not going to happen. You will find times when you, you know, you disagree with somebody, but the point is, don't let that disagreement eat you up all day long and cause you to open a door to the enemy. Don't let that, you know, don't give him opportunity. Be cautious at all times. Remember what I started off by saying is that you've got to be attentive at all times. You know, keep your eyes open, be attentive and on the lookout of what is going on and in around your life at all times. Remember I said yesterday that sometimes, you know, you wake up and you're doing fine, you finish your prayers and you're thanking God and praising God. Then all of a sudden, you know, maybe you talk to somebody, a loved one, a family member, close family member, or even usually the enemy will use those who are closest to you. So it could be a close family member. It could be, you know, your spouse. You know, you're talking about something and then all of a sudden out of that discussion, you start fighting or you start, you know, throwing angry words at each other. The next thing, that messes up your day and then you're so affected by it. Oh my God, the whole day, and it just dampens your spirit and all day you're feeling discouraged and all you're doing is thinking about that situation with that person. You know, they did this and they did that and they did that. What you're not realizing is that you're actually opening the door to the enemy. You're actually giving him room to come in and to devour you and to seize upon you. Because remember, we are told he doesn't just go and devour everybody. He seeks someone whom he can seize upon and whom he can devour. He's looking for opportunities. And so he's got his agents lined up. He can't be everywhere like God is. He's not omni anything. So he can't be at, you know, at different, you know, times at different, at the same time at all our houses. No, he has agents waiting on us, waiting on our mouths, waiting on what we are going to do. He has a lot of agents working for him, assigned to him. And so what he does at that point is he's looking, you know, he's waiting to see what are they going to do? You know, how can we seize that opportunity and get into their lives and devour? And so these agents, once they hear, oh, there's an argument here, that's the opportunity that they take. So it's not just Satan that he's the one at your house all the time. He has agents. He is at your house, and you know, in that he's multiplied himself through his agents. Amen. And so here, let's read James, the book of James chapter 3, verse 16. James 3 verse 16 says, "For wherever there's jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry, and selfish ambition, there will also be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices." Amen. So it's telling us basically to keep strife, envy, and strife out of our lives. In King James Version, it's very short. It says, "For where there's envying and strife, there is confusion and every evil work." Well, first of all, we know that the devil is the author of every evil work. And so what it's telling us here is that when we allow envy and strife into our lives, then right along with it comes confusion and everything else that the devil can throw at us. And so envy and strife will take you out from under God's covering, under God's keeping and protection. And when that happens, the enemy is able to come and devour you, seize upon you and attack you, because it's taken you away from under God's covering. So you've got to avoid strife at all costs. Don't let it into your home. Don't let it into your family. Don't let it into your, you know, business or on your job, no matter what. Yes, I do understand we have, you know, sometimes you get into disagreements with people, but do not, just like the Apostle Paul told us, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Well, you've got to be quick. Get rid of it quickly. Yeah, okay, this person made me angry, but resolve that quickly within your spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to deal with that situation, because if not, what happens is that you'll be under attack. It's like I think of Job. When Job was, he was unaware that he was going to be attacked by the enemy. And why? Because the enemy recognized that he had a hedge of protection around him. He was under the umbrella, the keeping of God. And so whenever you and I are under the umbrella or the keeping of God, you know, the enemy cannot attack us. So he has to find a way of getting us out of that keeping, out of that umbrella that, we have, the umbrella of God. Once we are out of the keeping of God, then he's able to attack us. If you recall, excuse me, when Jesus warned Peter in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, remember when he said to him, "Simon, Simon, Peter, listen, Satan has asked excessively that all of you be given up to him out of the power and keeping of God, that he might sift all of you like grain." This is what I'm talking about. You know, when you're walking, you know, in obedience to God, when you're following God's plan for your life, when you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing, you know, you are under the power and keeping of God. But when you have strife in your life, it gets you out of that keeping, you know, power and keeping of God. The Message translation says, "Simon, stay on your toes," in order, you know, Jesus was saying to him, stay on your toes because the enemy is about to attack you. Now, this is the thing. The Holy Spirit always gives us warnings when something, if you're sensitive and you're in the spirit, you always receive the warning from the Holy Spirit that something is about to go down. You know, he's not going to just let you walk into a situation like that. Most times he will warn you, even when the situation is, you know, you're right in the middle of the situation. He might even speak to you to say, walk away, don't respond. But, you know, if you allow the flesh to be in control, that's when you respond and you get into a fight with somebody and argue and, you know, all that stuff. And then you walk away, you're angry. Now you have to spend time trying to deal with that thing. Well, you know, just like Simon Peter, basically that is designed to keep you out of, or take you out of, the power and keeping of God. Why? So that the enemy might sift all of you like grain. This is what he was saying. He wants the same thing with Job. Job had the hedge of protection around him. The only way the enemy could touch him was after, you know, was after the hedge of protection was removed from him. With the same thing with Peter, the enemy couldn't attack Peter and his friends. Why? Because, they were in the power and keeping of God. And so he had to ask. And Jesus said that Satan has asked excessively. That means for him, if you read, you know, all the Gospels, you'll see, you know, the accounts of Peter and all the other apostles, even going further in the book of Acts and all the way through the, you know, the epistles. Look at how, Peter, I mean, his life was transformed and the things he was doing for God. Well, he was certainly a target for the enemy. And so before the enemy could see far ahead. This is even before Jesus had ascended back to heaven to our Heavenly Father. And so the enemy knew the plan. He knew that this guy, Peter, is going to give us problems. So let's get him out of the keeping power and keeping of God so that we may devour him. And so this is basically what Jesus was telling him. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked excessively that all of you be given up to him. The same thing he did for Job, he's doing here to Peter and his friends. You know, the one man that is, was smart was Abraham. If you recall, in the book of Genesis chapter 13, it's very clear on what happened there. After, Abraham had left his father and mother's house and he went on the journey, walked in the assignment that God had given him. He took his nephew Lot. Obviously, God didn't tell him to take Lot, but he took Lot with him. And so as they were going, the Bible tells us that, Lot, who went with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents in verse 5, Genesis 13, verse 5. And then verse 6 says, now the land was not able to nourish and support them, so they could dwell together, for their possessions were too great for them to live together. Well, Lot was being blessed by association, by being with Abraham. God didn't tell Abraham to take Lot because he knew that he was going to bless him abundantly and he would need all the land that he needed to support his own flock. Well, he chose to take his nephew. And again, many times God will tell us something and we think, let me go get somebody else to go along with me. No, if God hasn't told you to take somebody else to go along with you, don't. And so here we see how, Abraham takes Lot. And then verse 7 tells us that, and there was strife. So this is what happened. There was no more room and to support both of them, because they had too many things. And then there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. So what was this? It wasn't necessarily Abraham and Lot that were fighting, but it was going to get to them because their herdsmen were now fighting. And the Canaanite and the Perizzites were dwelling in the land, making it difficult for them to obtain the food for the herds. And so instead of fighting with the Canaanites and the Perizzites, they're now fighting amongst each other. And so Abraham noticed that and he saw that, this is an opportunity for Satan to come in and to seize upon us and to bring confusion and every evil work. And so what did he do in verse 8? The Bible tells us, so Abraham said to Lot, let there be no strife, I beg of you, between you and me, or between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are relatives. You see, we don't want to bring in strife here and cause all sorts of confusion to come in, all sorts of evil work, because that's what strife will do. Strife will bring about all sorts of evil work. And the devil is the author of evil work. And so how does the evil work come in? When you give him the opportunity, when there's strife in your life. And so that's why Abraham said to him, listen, let's separate. You go this way and take the left. And he didn't argue with him. He knew that the only way to do this was to just, deal with this situation amicably. Why don't you go pick whichever side you want to pick? And then, after that, I'll go to the other side. And so that's when after Lot left, you'll notice that God is now speaking to Abraham in verse 14. He says, the Lord said to Abraham after Lot had left him. And lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see, I'll give to you and to your posterity. God was committed to giving him the land that he saw, but this was after now Lot left, and one of the biggest things that Abraham did was to avoid strife between himself and his relative. And so you can see that strife can even begin, not necessarily you as the person who's causing the strife to start, but you can also have strife, your people around you can, those close to you can start something and you end up being part of it and you join in and everything and all that stuff. And you find yourself being involved in stuff that you don't need to be involved in. And so it's important for you to get rid of strife. It's important to you, for you to forgive, you know, quickly. Learn to forgive quickly. It's important for you to watch what you say out of your mouth, because the Bible tells us in Proverbs 6, verse 2, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. The way we talk can get us out from under the power and keeping of God, and it can give Satan the opportunity that he's looking for. It can give him that foothold. You see, when you're, you know, fighting and arguing with somebody, you say stuff. Sometimes we say things that we regret at the end of the day, or we say, well, I didn't mean that, but you said it. The fact that you opened your mouth and you said it, you've given opportunity to the enemy. You know, when you're going through situations, you yourself might speak negative stuff over yourself. I've heard people tell me things like, oh, I'm so broke. I don't even use that word. It's not in my vocabulary. I struck it out. You know, if you're in a situation where you don't have money right now, that doesn't mean you're broke. Broke is permanent. You need to say, I'm temporarily out of cash, because it's a temporary situation subject to change. Don't give the enemy foothold or opportunity by you saying broke or speaking and joking about sickness and things like that. Don't give him that foothold. You don't necessarily have to be in strife to be saying all this stuff that is against what God says. If you remember when the spies came back, the ten came back and gave a negative report and said, you know, we are not able. The Bible says that was an evil report in the sight of the Lord. So the things that you and I speak, if you are saying negative things against what God has said about you, you know, you're speaking about how you're feeling, where God says you're healed and you're talking about, oh, I'm sick, oh, this and that. Well, it's an evil report in the ears of the Lord, you know, and that's what causes and brings in every evil work, because the enemy is looking for that opportunity. So you need to, first of all, avoid strife, because that's one of the areas that he will use to come in and to disturb you. Amen. In Proverbs 6, verse 2, the Amplified says you're caught, you know, you've been caught by what you said, or ensnared by the words of your mouth. And so you've got to make sure that you keep a guard over your mouth. Speak only God's word and you won't get caught. You won't give the enemy the opportunity that he needs. Avoid strife. The envy and strife will take you out quickly, quicker than anything else. Envy and strife will take you out from under that umbrella of protection every single time. You need to make sure that you forgive the people. Doesn't matter what is going on, whatever they've said to you, how hurtful it is. You need to be quick to forgive. Don't hold on to it and then later on say, well, somebody pray for me. I'm looking for someone to pray for me. No, get rid of it quickly, because by the time you find somebody to pray for you, you've given the enemy that foothold. You've given him that opportunity to come in and bring in every evil work. And I mean, every evil work can mean from attacking your finances to attacking your health to attacking your family, attacking your marriage. And you wonder, why is it, you know, this thing is going on? Don't you ever wonder why a lot of times in Christian marriages, you wonder how come people who are Christians are divorcing? Well, it's the work of the enemy, because they gave an opportunity to the enemy to seize and to devour. The enemy doesn't want Christian marriages. He's against that. And so, because it's, you know, marriage was ordained by God. It's an institution by God. He's the one who, you know, ordained it. It's a covenant. So he wants to break the covenant, and he wants us to, you know, break our marriages. And so what does he do? He brings, you know, confusion, and he brings strife in marriages. And so when people who are Christians are constantly fighting, well, they're giving the enemy the foothold to come in and to devour them. Now, not only is, you know, are they fighting right there and he's trying to break up their marriage, but he's going to attack their finances. He's going to attack their family. He's going to attack their careers or their business. He attacks every area of your life. And so sometimes people don't understand the relationship, and they'll be like, well, you know, we tithe, we give offerings, and we do everything right, you know, but they forget that there's strife. Have you all been fighting and not getting along? Yeah, well, enemy opportunity to devour and to seize upon you. And so now he's able to, using strife, he's able to come in and devour other areas of your life as well. So be very careful. Avoid strife at all costs. Stay in an attitude of prayer, and, you know, just make sure that you are quick to forgive, you're quick to release and let go of the offenses. That's why the Bible tells us to pray for those who hurt us, those who despitefully use us. You know, pray for them, bless them. You know, so that's what you need to do. Bless them, pray for them. Don't hold on to grudges, because then again, you're giving opportunity to the enemy to come in and to devour you. And so by God's grace, I pray that this teaching has been a blessing to you and that you will take it seriously and avoid strife at all costs, because strife will bring every evil work into your life and bring confusion and destruction, because that's the enemy's MO. But with God, you know, helping you and the Holy Spirit helping you, all things are possible, and God will make sure that you continue to be under his keeping. And, you know, you will, if you stay away from strife and all these other evil things, the Lord will keep you, the Lord will bless you, and, you know, you'll continue to be, you know, have victory in every area of your life. Thank you so much for joining me today. By God's grace, I'll continue sharing more with you tomorrow morning. Love you all and have a blessed day. Bye-bye.